Blog Talk Radio.
Well, what's up, everybody? You're listening to The Single Nights with Tiffany and Corey, a helpful, humorous lifestyle podcast where we discuss relationships, dating, sex, personal, professional development, and whatever the hell is on our minds. This is our fourth episode, and we will be accepting calls at area code 347-637-1027. Unfortunately, Tiff is out today. She's not feeling well, so I hope my beautiful partner gets well, ASAP, so she can be back on our Wednesday night show. That said, I want to jump into something that that actually happened to me late last night into today, which triggered my initial question, which is, when do you know if a person actually has potential to be in a relationship with? And so last night I'm talking to somebody, it's about 8:30, 9 o'clock, still early, and I was in the mood to actually get out, go have a drink. So I'm talking to a young lady who I hadn't seen yet. I met on a dating site, and we went into chopping it up, and she told me that it was too early for her. She was going out later on in the evening with her sister. Later on, probably about 11:30, 12 o'clock, she hits me up and says that her sister's not going out, so she's just going to stay in. I know I'm not the only one that this happens to, but there's a time of the night that, regardless of, you know, who you might be, unless you're just completely a friend, that the conversation shifts from normal, regular, everyday talk to sex talk, because everybody tends to get horny at a certain time of night or whatever the case is. For those who get horny all through the day, that's a different story. So we're talking, and things start to lead into sex talk. And, you know, so we're both aroused, whatever the case is. So she doesn't come over. I don't get a chance to go over. So it ends at that. Next day, however, she hits me, which is today, and she's like, "Well, I wanna see you. When are you gonna take me out on a date?" And I'm thinking in my head, "Well, I wanna see you, but I kind of wanna see you to, test out what we were talking about the night before, not necessarily go out on a date." And so she's like, "Well, you don't do that. You don't do dates. You don't ask women out on dates." Whoop. And it dawned on me, because I'm not a guy who takes women out to dinner on first dates. That's not my thing. I'll do a coffee. I may do an improv show. Shout out to the improv show. Guys, if you've never taken a woman to an improv show, you should, because it's only $20. They get a laugh. You get to talk. It's a good icebreaker. And you don't come out of pocket too much. You need more information, I'll give it to you. But with that said, I kind of was saying to myself, no, I'm not going to take you to dinner on the first date, which is where she was leading to as the conversation went on, because I didn't see her as somebody that I would want to be with, like, or be in a relationship. And so it dawned on me, and I'm just saying to the people out there, when do you see it fit, both men and women, that somebody could actually be more than just a casual person, that they can be someone you can be in a relationship with? For me, I didn't see it. I'm big on looks. She was okay looking, but not somebody that I wanted to come home to every night. Like, I understand looks fade, but I don't want to start out with it being somewhat blurry or faded. So call me what you want, but I'm very visual. And so it dawned on me in past experiences that the women that I have wanted to be in relationships were really, really attractive, and she just didn't make that grade. And then the combination of having great conversation went well with the looks. So, that's my MO, at least, for if I would do the extra thing, which is step out of my box and take someone out on a first date dinner. I mean, recently in the past couple of years, it's probably only happened a handful of times because there were women that I thought. So I would like to know from the ladies what it is that would trigger that for you in the beginning. Fellas, definitely shout out and let me know if that's something that works for you, similar to what I was talking about. I have a caller. Caller, what you got for me? Hello?
Is it Keisha?
Hey,
can you hear me?
Keisha, this is, I can,
sorry,
this is Corey.
Okay, good. Well, you said some interesting things, but I guess I'll say that for me, there is no one thing that lets you know someone is potential for a relationship. I guess there are certain things that can completely turn you off. Like if the conversation quickly turns into something that's sexual, I think that's usually a turnoff for women. Or you send me an unsolicited dick pic, you know, that's obviously a turnoff. Or I had a situation where I go to dinner with someone and he said he forgot his wallet at home. I paid, no problem. But it was just the kind of the irresponsibility behind it that you would wait until after we order food to say, oh, I left my, and I think for him it was a test to see if I would, and for him it was just like, oh, my goodness, the woman of my dreams. But for me, I was just thinking, you know, that was pretty irresponsible and selfish, I think. I don't have a problem with paying for my own food, but for you to just expect someone to pay your end of the meal, I think is kind of selfish and irresponsible. So that was one that was a turnoff. I've been in situations where, you know, you meet someone and there's just this automatic connection, you know, where you feel like you could talk to that person forever and, you know, this person seems like a good person. They let you into a little bit of their lives or whatever. And that makes you kind of want things to turn into a relationship, I think, from my perspective.
Well, you said something that was really poignant that I want to just go back on real quick. You said it was irresponsible for someone to believe that the next person would pay for their meal. But that's kind of what happens on every date, at least first date, that a man goes on. The presumption from almost every woman that I've, especially on the Facebook site that we're on, there's a automatic it's almost like we're obligated as men to pay for that. So based on what you're saying, do you believe that that it's the same premise? Because that's what it sounds like. If you're saying that I go on a date with a woman and the woman should be paying for their stuff, if not, it's irresponsible, or is there a double standard there?
Well, for me, it makes a difference who asks who on a date. He asked me out. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see me, which is fine. I'm always, regardless of whether he asked me or I ask him, I'm always prepared to pay my way. So right. I never just assume or expect the man to pay for my meal. You know, he'll pay. I'll ask, are you sure? You know, because I'm prepared to pay my way if it's a first date. And if he says that he pays or he'll pay, I'm very appreciative. I always say, thank you. You know, you didn't have to do that. Thank you so much for that. But most of the time when women go out on dates, especially a first date, the man asks. So maybe the man would assume or whatever, or even the woman would assume, okay, you asked me out, so, you know, you're going to pay my way. I follow that assumption. I just always am prepared to pay for my meal.
Well, there you go. I don't know how many men are listening to this, but, again, this is the second time that Keisha has called in on the show, and she's not in my state, but if she's in your state, which is Louisiana, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I need to find her and stop playing, because she's got a lot of values that I'm looking for, and I'm pretty sure based on some of the stuff that I saw, it's some of the values that you guys are looking for. Keisha, I thank you for the call. I'm going to ask you to hold as I go on to my next topic. If nobody else calls in, I'm going to click you back in. Fair enough?
All right. Fair enough. Thank you.
All right. Or rather, I'm going to ask you, because it's not allowing me to do it, to call back, because I'm going to hang up, all right?
All right.
All right. So my next thing that I wanted to go into was, do you believe that people should live together before they get married? I'm a big proponent, not being a Christian anymore. I'm definitely a big proponent of, you know, shacking up, as they would say, because it's one thing to date somebody you can date somebody for a year and you guys are sharing time at each other's apartments, spending days, but there's a huge difference if you have not lived with someone. And most Christians that I've run across, I can't speak on any other religion, Muslims, Jews, I don't know how they feel about it because I was never those things, didn't practice it. Christians believe that you shouldn't be living with someone because that's not biblical or whatever the case is, or that's not how their parents was raised, whatever the rationale is. But a lot of them believe that you should not be living with a person before marriage, which to me is ridiculous. Because I want to know whether or not, you know, she clips her toenails in the bed, whether she is, you know, filthy, like she leaves socks and so forth around, and I just never seen it when I come over, whatever the case is, or whatever other issues she may or may not have, and vice versa. I'm not perfect, so I'd like to believe that, you know, she will want to see whatever things that I have going on to see if it's something you're going to tolerate, because if this is supposed to be going towards marriage, you don't want to find these things out, in my opinion, after you walk down the aisle. I think it would be a bit ridiculous. Since no one else is called in right now, I'm going to let Keisha back in on the line and let her chime in, see what she's got to say about that. Keisha, live again.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you. My opinion on that is, you know, I've been married before, actually, so the idea of marriage is not something that I just feel like I would have to do again. If it happens again, you know, I would be fine with that, but it's not something that is that important to me anymore. So the thought of living with someone before marriage or without marriage is fine with me, but I do understand how Christians would also have the belief that this is definitely not something that should happen before marriage, because obviously...
Are you a Christian?
I am, but to be honest, I'm not, you know, one of those who just is a strong practicer of Christian beliefs or anything
right.
like that. I believe in those things, you know. I understand it, but however, I acknowledge that I'm not perfect. You know, I make mistakes, but so I mean, I can understand how a Christian would feel like, you know. It's definitely not something that should be done before marriage, because especially if you have the belief that you shouldn't have sex before marriage. You know, a lot of people do wait until marriage, and so if you're living with someone, obviously you're not going to be waiting to have sex. So I do, you know, I can understand why someone wouldn't want to live with someone before marriage.
But you personally would not wait.
I wouldn't have a problem with living with somebody before marriage. You know, it certainly wouldn't be because of that.
Okay.
I think a lot of people put emphasis on, I need to know exactly how you live, you know, before we get married. I think that in the dating process, you know enough about that person before you live with them to know, okay, there are some obvious signs of, you know, us having a problem with cohabitation. You go to that person's house, they're messy, or they're probably going to be clipping toes one night when you're just over there hanging out. So I don't think that that's something, I don't think that that would be the reason you would need to live with someone before you get married. Because you're going to have nights where you spend the night,
like, during my week, like, because I have a lot of clothes. So during my week, I go through outfits and I'm changing things and trying to figure out what I'm going to wear. And quite often, there are shoes and clothes. It's not, like, dirty in my apartment, but because I'm changing and trying to figure out what I want to wear so I can get fly to go outside, I might have a bunch of clothes that need to be hung up. And usually the day for rehanging those things up are Friday. But if you came to my apartment and I knew you were coming, I'm going to deviate from my Friday cleanup and clean up on Tuesday if I know you're coming. So you would never actually know that I have things out of order. So my point being to you is if you live with me, I either going to have to change my ways or you're going to see that, wait a minute,
but
I've never seen this side of Corey before, and this is friggin' annoying. So there are things
that you
people
would do.
Hide. Yeah, but that's things
true.
People hide, that's what I'm saying. So in order to take it to the third step of marriage, the living with each other is important because there are a whole bunch of other things that you may not be able to see, even with financial matters or how people really take care of their financial matters. You can assess that by living together and sharing bills.
But see, what you just described, that's something that you do in the early stages when you're in the dating process. Oh, I just met this girl a month ago, maybe for a couple months. She's coming over here and there. You're going to be hanging up your clothes before she comes over. But when you're in a serious relationship, before you live with someone or before you marry someone, there's going to be a time where that person is coming over a lot. So you can't continue to hide clothes and stuff throughout a relationship if that person is coming over pretty much every day. That's something that you do in the beginning stages. So there's only so much you can hide in for so long, even without living with the person. You're going to eventually know what that person is like, what they live like, because you're around that person so much.
Facts. That's facts. I can agree with that to a degree. I guess when I was in my relationships, I kept that sort of facade up for some time. So, but I guess you're right. After over 6, 7, 8 months, whatever the case is, I guess you dropped that. So I would agree that you are right in that assessment. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing as I go into my next topic. So feel free to call back in. And again, thank you.
Okay.
All right. And that was Keisha, everybody. Guys, you definitely need to check her out. She's a cutie. She's out there somewhere in Louisiana. I'm not sure if it's Shreveport or one of those other places that I've never been, because I've never been to Louisiana. But the next thing that I wanted to discuss was how much of the past should be disclosed, and is lying sometimes necessary? In my last relationship, my ex, I asked her first. I guess I started it and put myself in a hot seat because I asked her, how many guys did she sleep with? So she told me her number and I wasn't that pleased. And then she in turn asked me my number. Now, I'm not going to disclose what my number is, but when I told her what my number was, my number was really high for her, and it became a problem. It didn't stop us from being in a relationship, but every now and then she would bring it back up and say, oh, you slept with the whole of New York, you slept with the whole of Atlanta, yada, yada, yada. And that wasn't the case. But I wondered if, going forward in my next relationship, if somebody asked me that, should I lie? Same thing with cheating. Should I disclose to someone that I have cheated? I have not, for the record, cheated in any relationship that I've been in. But if you are someone who has cheated, would you disclose to them that, hey, you know what? I have cheated. I have a caller on the line. Caller, who am I speaking with? Hello? Going once? Hey. This is Corey. How are you? Okay, caller hung up. We're gonna go to Keisha again. Loyal
okay.
Keisha, how you doing?
Yes,
call
I know.
Dropped
I'm
on the
I'm
other
a loyal
one.
Call.
So, there you go.
Well, this is an interesting topic here. Wow, I do not think that you should lie. I think that you should explain if you have cheated. I think most men have cheated. Most people probably have cheated in the past. I also have never cheated in a relationship, but it would not be shocking to hear that, someone I'm in a relationship with has cheated in the past. I think the important thing is to ensure that you have either changed or you acknowledge that it was a mistake and, you know, or even explain why you cheated and you learn from that. I think that's the important part. But I definitely don't think that you should lie, because what would you accomplish by lying? And,
well,
I mean, as far as numbers.
Right. Well, what if the numbers bothered you?
What if
a guy told you he slept with 100 women?
Well, here's the thing about numbers. Most of the time, to me, and I could be completely wrong, I hope this doesn't come out wrong, but when you're young and maybe not as experienced or whatever, that's when you ask about numbers. I didn't even know people still ask about who you've been with and this and that. It is a turnoff. I'll be honest. It's a turnoff because I think a lot of times men think, oh, I'm a man, I'm supposed to sleep around, but I don't want to be with somebody who's been with all of New York. That's gross. I mean, it is a turnoff. It's gross. So I wouldn't ask.
Right. But, yes, but that's what I, but that's
know.
My point to you. But that's my point from the teller's perspective. Should they omit or lie? Because if I'm digging you.
No.
And wait, but if I'm digging you and I have a thought in my head that if I tell you I only slept with 25 women versus 100, that we would still be able to pursue things, then you're saying that I should just say it, and then if you dead me and my 100 is too much for you and you don't want to deal with me, then I lose out.
So, I mean, but this is who you are, though. Why lie about who you are? You know,
well, it's
regardless
not who I am,
of whether
it's
or not
something
you lose
I've
out.
Done.
It is.
No,
it's,
well, it's
but
not
it's
who
also
I am because,
who you are. What
you
you've done,
really.
What you've done creates who you are. I mean, that's a part of who you are, what you've done, even if you've done it in the past. I mean, I had a son irresponsibly in the past, but my son still made me who I am. That's still a part of who I am. Him, me being a mother, you know, had a lot to do with the person that I became. It's still something that I did, you know, even though I would never do anything like that, you know, again, it's still something that happened. So, I mean, it's who you are. You shouldn't be ashamed of it just because if there's a possibility that someone else may not be able to deal with that. But why lie about it? I mean, that's a part of your past.
I think there are variations. How would the truth actually ever come out unless I was drunk? And, I mean, telling someone that I slept with 25 women.
I've dated a man.
Those conversations you only have with a certain amount of people. So, like,
I've dated a man who it was just constant. Like a woman would pop up here and there. It's always, and you know that these are women he slept with. And if I'm seeing 10 women, I mean, you know, who knows how many he actually slept with if I'm seeing, you know, one back to back to back to back. The truth comes out surprisingly in different ways.
It can, but I also don't think that if that makes you who you are. I just think that it's something that you've done, because I don't know how you are then defined by your sexual exploits from a certain time period. Like I understand what you're saying in terms of you're a mother, so that's part of who you are, and you're a daughter, so that's part of who you are. But I don't think that you can add, say, sex as a part of who you are. Like if I used to make bootleg DVDs if I used to make bootleg DVDs, it doesn't make me I'm a bootleg DVD-er. Like, there's some things that just aren't part of who you are. There's just some things that you've done. Like, I rode a bike. Doesn't make me a bicycle rider.
It is definitely a part of who you are. If you are a bootleg DVD-making person, even though you say you don't do it anymore, that's still a part of you. That is something that you did. That's a part of your history. And the number of people that you sleep with affects how you have sex in the future. I mean, what turns you on, and it's probably going to take a lot more to turn you on than it would somebody who's only been with one person who did it missionary the whole time. You've experienced everything. And so when you get with the next person, that makes a big difference. You have to be pulled a little tighter for example, you have to have the threesomes in order to be satisfied. You got to have a finger in the booty hole in order for it to make a difference. What's going to turn you on is not going to be as easy as it would be for somebody else. I mean, the number of people you sleep with and the experience you have makes a huge difference on future partners. I mean, if you can only get off on anal sex, because it has a lot to do with your history.
Your Facebook messenger should be blowing up right now. I swear it should be blowing up right now. I don't know if y'all listening out there, but you need to be. And I don't know if you into women or not, but if I was a female and there was a hint of it, I would be hitting you up right now if I lived out there in Louisiana or neighboring states. Y'all better start paying attention. Keith is on the ball. Keisha, I'm gonna ask you to do the same thing because I got a couple more before our time elapses.
Okay.
So this half hour will be going real quick. All right.
All righty.
Once again, shout out to Keith. The other caller who called in, I'm not really sure what happened. I clicked on you. I heard nothing. It was just air. Gave you a one count, and then the call dropped. So feel free to call back in. The number is 347-637-1027. Next thing that I wanted to go into, there's a show on TV. I don't know if anybody has seen it. It's a show about marriage and people just getting married, like without seeing their potential mate, which was kind of weird. Like I had never. I'd never heard of it. I think the name of it was Married at First Sight. So you just meet somebody and they kind of pair you up. It's kind of like, you answer a certain amount of questions like you would do on an eHarmony, and they just kind of pair you and you just get married. And it dawned on me like, damn, like I've never been married, but is this where we've come to where marriage is so nothing that you could just get married to a random stranger that you've never met? Probably for a couple of dollars to hopefully see if this will work, or are we at a stage where people are that desperate that they would do that? I personally would not try something like that because I don't take marriage lightly. When I do get married, whenever that time comes, if it comes for me, I'm hoping that that's it. Like I really, really am not trying to get divorced and have to go through the whole nine. So I want to hear what you guys have to say out there as it relates to that. I mean, are we at a point where people are so desperate that they will just do anything to get married, or are we just at a point where marriage doesn't mean shit? Going to go to Keisha one more time. Talk to your people.
Thank you so much. I think that is a sign of desperation if you're willing to just marry someone you barely know. I think it's a little bit too hasty. That's something that is just the thought of it is crazy to me that you would be willing to do something like that. There's so much more that goes into a relationship than you know, oh, do we have these things in common? So that definitely, I don't think that those are the ingredients for a lasting relationship, for sure. It takes more than that for a lasting marriage.
Now let me ask you this, though. Is there a dollar figure that you would get married for in this particular situation, the way the show works?
Oh, there's a
million dollars? Million dollars?
So
somebody
they,
says, all right, marry
me
for $1 million, and you got to be with me for 6 months to see if you want to be with me or not, to stay married. Would you do it?
A million dollars just for 6 months?
$1 million. I mean, if you want to stay married, you stay married, but if not,
but just
then
for
you
6 months.
Divorce. Yeah, I mean, 6 months is the time frame to decide. That's what the show is. I think it's like a 6 month trial, so they stay together, or 6 weeks,
oh,
whatever the case is.
I may have to
would
do that.
Would you do it for $1 million?
$1 million, yeah, and I could,
all right,
get
so
out of it.
I'm trying to find out what's your low number. $100,000? Would you do it for $100,000?
I probably wouldn't do it for that now.
Okay, what about what's your bottom number? $250,000. I'm just curious. Real quick, because we're going to wrap up in 15 seconds. What's your number? Just give me a number.
I mean, I would maybe 50,000 or so would be the bottom number. I just to say no, maybe it wouldn't be worth it.
All right.
But I mean,
I'm going to have to cut you there. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard her say 50,000. If you got it, you can get her. Wrap it up.